In the coming, in the last couple of months, as a church, we've been learning that God matters, people matter to God, and God is interested in us, and God is interested in people. And for that reason, we said that we want to be contagious Christians. That means people who will infect the community around us, that anyone get to know us. They will try to find out what is it that makes us tick and who is this God that we serve. Today I'm going to take the story from Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you can open with me. I'm going to do a bit of reading and we'll read a lot more as we go along. Luke chapter 15. It said, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to him, that is Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Jesus said, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and turns around than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to look up to God. Or supposing a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then Jesus continued to speak. So there was a man who had two sons. The younger one told his father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything to eat. Then he came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again today. He was lost, but is now found. So they began to celebrate. Hallelujah. They began to celebrate. What is exciting me about this message is the fact that lost people matter to God. Lost people matter to God. In all the three stories, something of worth, something important is either lost or seem to go away from where it rightly began. When we say someone is lost, is it possible I can have something different? I'm fiddling with this. Something of worth, something important, seemed to go away, and it's not where it ought to be. People matter to God because God wants us to be in a place that will be for our own good, our own well-being, in our own interest, to His glory, to His delight. How many of us will probably go to our children's graduation or Christmas, what do we call it, play, or some kind of achievement ceremony or some football or sport, and how proud are we to see our children achieve something? How many of us are like that? Of course, I am like that. God is ever so proud when He sees His kids and His children in the right place that they ought to be. God is ever so proud to see that. For that reason, lost people matter to God. They are misplaced before God. And lost people are not just unknown people, but they are prized possessions, right? Lost people are not unknown people. You see, in this story, as we looked at, we came to realize that this person had 100 sheep, for argument's sake. And one was lost, was not where it ought to be. Because it was important to the owner or the shepherd, because it was worth something to the shepherd had to go and look for that particular sheep. Hallelujah. So, I just want you to know that that sheep was a prized possession. And therefore, every lost person is not just a name, or any person who does not know God as their leader and as their Lord and follow Jesus Christ. That person, the Bible says, that person is lost. And the question is, lost going where? Lost going to eternal damnation. Lost going to a place that we call hell. A place that they will not rejoice but suffer forever. Take it for example that you see your loved ones sometimes suffer. They die out of cancer or some pain or some disease and illness. You see the pain that you go through. And do you want your family or anyone that you say you love, go to this place? Lost people are not just unknown human beings. They are people we know. They were once prized possessions. And now not so much, because they are far away from where they ought to be. They are far from God. See, the shepherd and the widow and the father in our story today are relentlessly pursuing the lost. Did you realize that? The shepherd was relentlessly pursuing that sheep that was lost. And the woman or the widow who lost a coin, for instance, if I lose, I take some coins out of my pocket and one falls and I saw it to say 1p or 2p, I probably say, well, I'll find it another day. But this is a 2-pound coin. I need it. You know why? Because it is of importance to me. Because it is honorable to have that, if nothing at all, to pay that parking meter so that you don't get some shackles. Some jackals. If you are one of them, you are sweet. But some of them are not very nice. To come in and give you some tickets. Right. I'm sure they are doing their job. But then we're looking for lost people because we place honor over them. Because they are valued to them. So that 2-pound coin, I will look for it because it's important to me. I place a value on it, and it's honor to have that money. Though it may weigh carry some weight, it is honorable to have that money in my pocket because I know that it will come to use when I needed it. So, lost people matter to God, and we have to pursue them. We have to make every effort that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. And I am sure, my sister Latke, somebody pursue you over the years, over the months, over the weeks, and over the days. And I'm sure you give that person so many shoulders and so many excuses and so many stories that some are true, some are untrue, some you can't believe it, some you believe it. At the end of the day, you have come to the point and say, you know what? I matter to God. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, my sister has come to the point and said, you know what? I matter to God and I want to cross that line. And I want to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And just like our story with the sheep, they had to bring that sheep to the fold. And I know some of you have been coming to church for a while. Being a church member does not set you to heaven. But you know what? God is coming to rescue his church. Hallelujah. God is coming to rescue his church. So the question is, which church do you belong to? Are you just a pew warmer or a visitor time after time? This is the time for you to actually identify yourself with a local church. And we thank God that our mother, Sally Freeman, is going to identify herself with a local church. And she's no more going to come and just go and come. And go, come and go. I grew up in Church of England. If you are not a communicant, if you're not paying your dues, if you're not going to church regularly, you die, and they bring your coffin, they stand in front of the church building, and then they pass on. But if you are doing what is right, they bring you to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm telling you is true, you know. I know the theology now is practice for me, real experience for me. So we thank God for that. We look for lost people because we place honor and value over them. You see, lost people are on God's radar. You see, when people are lost, they are on God's radar. God is interested in them. They are so important to the owners that they will do whatever is possible, and they will never forget them. They are forever on their radar. Your thought and names never leave their minds. And look at what the prophet Isaiah is saying. At a time, in the 400 period that they had kings in Israel, and when they had a united kingdom, UK, right? They were in Brexit then. So there wasn't Northern and Southern Kingdom. But let's come to, the message of today. You see, one of the spokesperson of God was called Isaiah. Spokesperson are called prophet in the biblical sense. And Isaiah came, and the people were actually far from God. They would not listen. They went after idols. They chased the latest technology of the day. They chased the latest money of the day. They chased everything that they had. They got themselves in all sorts of practices that made them far away from God. They did not care a damn about nothing. They forgot about God, and they only go to church when it is Sunday. Devotion was missing. Bible reading and meditation was missing. Thinking deeply about the word of God and application and asking God for wisdom to apply it to their life was missing. Communicating, praying to God and pouring out their heart to God and praising God and God speaking to them or waiting for God to speak to them was also missing. So the prophet Isaiah said, you know what, I want you to come back home because you are lost. And we want lost people to come home because lost people matter to God. And this is what Isaiah wrote in chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. He said, can a mother forget the child or baby at the breast, at her breast, and have no compassion on the child that she bore? Though she may forget, I, God, will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand, and your walls are ever before me. Hallelujah. Shall a mother forget a child that she bears? They never do. Even though some children grow up and they become lost and naughty and they really hurt their parents never forget them. You're forever a child. You're forever a baby. You're forever a daughter or a son of your mother. And God is saying that today, I've engraved you in the palm of my hand. I don't know the level of lostness that you find yourself in. I don't know how far you have found yourself in. I don't know how far you are far away from God. I don't know how far, I'm repeating myself, far away from Jesus. If you get up and the first thing that comes to your mind is to do your social media or do your WhatsApp or whatever, Instagram, whatever it is, you are far from God. I have no apology for this. Do you hear that? Say amen to that. Even if you are guilty, say amen to that. Amen. It's a sign of somebody who is far from God. If you're not far from God, when you wake up, first thing you want to do is to pray or have some praises or pick up your Bible or try to connect with God somewhere because God is so important to you. Some may like to have it over a cup of tea. I don't condemn you. But what is most important to you when you wake up in the morning will determine your connection with God. Don't lie to me that you are closer from God, because the moment you go on the computer or go on these apps, half an hour goes. The next time you realize you have only 15 minutes to connect with God and you are rushing, you read it, you don't even understand. You think you've just ticked the box for the day. That will not fool God. Do you hear that? Maybe you wake up first and on your mind is that you're looking for your travel pass or your car key and rush out. I dare to say you are far from God. What time are you spending with this God that you call your friend, that you call your Lord, that you call your leader? What time are you spending with this person? So, God says that I will never forget you. Your walls are always ever before me. Today, what have you lost? Is the question that I would like to ask you. Today, what is lostness for you? What walls are facing you? Could your walls be money problem or financial decisions that you need to make? Could your walls and could your lostness and could your lostness be child problems? Giving you sleepless night and hurting you so much. That could be your wall. That could be your lostness. That is what is lost and you want to bring it back. It could be a job or joblessness position. And you are wondering, God, what is it that I can have? It could be that you have a sickness problem that you have to, because God did not create you sick. You understand that? You were born beautiful. Your parents held them in their arm and they smiled and they have so much hope for you. And now you're sick. Now as you grow old, you are sick. Sometimes you are not even old and you're sick. God did not create sickness. Don't blame God. Some African writers will say the gods cannot be blamed. Here we're saying that it could be a marriage problem, it could be a relationship problem, it could be fear and doubt problems, it could be sin and disobedience issues. It could be a court issue, a court problem. Somebody is dragging you to the court to mess you about. It could be a tribunal problem. It could be an immigration problem. It could be a spiritual problem. It can be something that you can't even name it problem. And that is something lost in your life. And you want to bring it back. And God wants to bring it back. You see, here God is saying, and I want to bring it back. Bringing back means restoration. Bringing it back to where it ought to be. Restoration meaning putting something back to its original state. Hallelujah. God wants to put you back to your original state, where he wants you to be, where he wants you to be to his glory, or to the original glory that God wants to be. It also means that God did not create us or imagine it that way or want to bring us to that point of lostness, but God wants to bring us back to where we rightly belong. God did not create those problems, you know. God really did not. John 3:17 says this, that for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. God did not come to condemn you. God did not come to say, hey, you are going to go to hell. That is not his point. He says that there is a way out for you. Hallelujah. You see, God is only just going to warn you. And last week when I was preaching, I said, if you say you love somebody and you are at a road junction and have a five-year-old with you, especially on this A2, it's a very, very busy road, big trucks, big cars, small cars, fast cars, slow cars, come on it. And your five-year-old beginning to say, Mom, I'm so strong. This time I'm so wise. I'm growing. Give me the chance. I want freedom, right? I want liberty, right? I want to make choices for myself. And he says, son, that's all right. Make that choices. And the son begins to walk into the road and the traffic is not green for him to go. What will a sensible mother do? You'll grab this. Even if it means that you have to throw yourself for you to die for the child to be alive, you will do that. I will do that. Won't you? And that is exactly where we are. That our loved ones are losing out. The next person sitting by you is not re-energizing himself or herself for God. They just live and contend with life by themselves. Sometimes you can do as much as you can do, but you get to a point that you need God or supernatural power beyond yourself to come alongside you, to re-energize you, to protect you, to lead you, and to pave a way for you so that you can walk in. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need that. That is when God come to himself. That's when supernatural power come unto himself. And that supernatural power that we would tap into is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Restoration means that God wants to warn us to say that, look, you know what? Romans 6:23, I thought I should read it for you. It said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, when you sin, you make a way for you to die spiritually. Something dies in you. Something is mortified. Mortified means that it does not respond to things around you. And you don't respond to God the way you ought to. Sometimes it's shame for you. Sometimes it's humiliation for you. When you get to the point that, when you get to that stage that it doesn't mean anything to you, that means you are really far. Do you understand that? It means you are really, really fine. That is you. I challenge you today. God says, come home. There's restoration for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the lost is found, there is a lot of rejoicing. When the lost is found, when the damage is repaired, when the broken is mended, when the sick is healed, when the bound is set free, when the sinner asks for God's forgiveness and accepts the leadership of Jesus, a new pathway, a new way is made for wholeness and to eternity. Hallelujah. You see, God wants wholeness for us. You see, wholeness is not just physical wholeness. It means emotional wholeness, psychological wholeness, and every kind of well-being that you can think about. You see, the other English word for it is well-being. Sometimes someone says, how are you? And we say, we are fine, and we're hurting. You are not well. It's as simple as that. Do you understand that? You got to learn to be honest. Now, you know what? I'm really suffering today. It's not good for me today. Would you like to pray with me? Would you like to pray for me? Hey, this is my lived life. This is my story. Be real with yourself and stop pretending and stop being Christian when you know you're not. This brings us to the point of action. A new pathway is made for wholeness and eternity when the lost is found. We get to this point, a point of action. The point of action is what I call the crossroads, when someone has to go and look for the lost. You have to get to a point, and sometimes you move you from the inside for it to tell you that, you know what, you need to do something about the situation. Because in this story about the shepherd realized that something is lost, and the shepherd came to a point that, look, I will put the 99 aside, and I'm going to look for that one because something moves me. I've reached a point that I can't stand it no more. I overlook it for a while that one is lost, but I cannot ignore the bleating of that sheep from the distance. I need to go and look for it wherever it is. And that shepherd went to look for it. And that woman came back and said, look, even though I have some money, there is something lost here, and I can't find that coin. Whatever it is, gold coin, diamond coin, ruby coin, whatever it is, or maybe copper coin. I'm going to look for it, and wherever it is, and when I find it, I'm going to celebrate. Hallelujah. Amen. And God wants us to come to that point. That if you are walking away from God, you should come to that point that you want to. A crossroad where the lost will come to his or her senses and say, I'm coming back home. This, in the Bible language, we call it a point of repentance, or we call it repentance. They come to a point of repentance, repent. Repent is asking God for forgiveness and accepting the leadership of Jesus Christ in your life. When we go into our reading, Luke chapter 15, verse 16 to 20, said that he longed to fill his stomach with pots that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. He was looking after the sheep, and he was sitting there hungry. Sorry, looking after the pig. He was sitting there hungry and seeing the pig eating everything that came around. And he wished that he was a pig. That is exactly what he's saying. He wished that he was a pig so that he too can eat and not worry. Then he sat down thinking, you know what? Where I am is no good. And sometimes we walk away from God. Sometimes God is far away from us. And we are suffering out there. We are hustling out there. People are hating us. People are disliking us. People are discriminating against us. People are overlooking us for promotion. Your money comes to your hand, it's not staying. All around you, it looks like chaos. In the home, there's no peace. In the work, there's no joy. And you'll be wondering, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I do? He said that, and he came to his senses. That there's a way out. And the way out is to go back to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. The way out is go back to the Father. Let's press on. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men or servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. The point of crossroad is to get up right now, today, and make that decision that I am going to go back to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, we have to come to that point. And we say that, you know what? We're coming to that point because great is his mercy towards us. Great is God's mercy towards us. Great is his love and kindness towards us. Great is God's mercy and love and kindness towards us day after day. Forever he's there for us. And God is beckoning. Because if you look at the story of the father and the child who went to spend everything, the Bible says, and the father, when he saw his son coming from afar off, he was standing by the wayside. He was standing by the doorside. He was standing in front of his house. Wherever his house was, he was looking out for the child. Probably was on a hill, scanning the surface. Where is my child? And one day, he saw the child. It may well be that the father's been praying, let my child come home. The mother's been praying, let my child turn around. Let my situation turn around. And the situation got to a point it's got to be turned around. Hallelujah. There was some persistency in wanting the situation to turn around. And because the father did not give up, what happened? At the right time, the child came home. Because the father was expecting the child to come home. And God is expecting you to come home right now unto him. Where will you be? God is expecting that. Because we need his mercy. We need his mercy because someone has paid for that penalty. You see, when you come to a point that you need mercy, you are in trouble. You understand that? You are in trouble and you need somebody to say, you know what? Even though you deserve to be whipped, even though you deserve to be insulted, you deserve to be fired, you deserve to be, chucked out of the way, you deserve to be punished, you know what? I have decided that I'm not going to do neither of those or either of those. I'm going to let you go free. And that is exactly what happened. That when you and me walk away from God and we turn our back on him, he broke his heart. God stood at the doorway of his church and doorway of his kingdom and calling out to you, looking out for you, praying for you. Jesus doing that all the time. And a time came that you have to turn back home. And when you turn back home, he said, you know what? I'm not going to whip you up. I'm not going to say, hey, you did this, you did that, and you did that. None of us in this church, we don't do that. We will tell you when you're doing wrong. And we say, change your way. But we're not going to say, because you did that, we're going to throw you to the car, to the vehicles on the street for them to run over you because you matter to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, it doesn't mean that we have to condone what is wrong, but we have to show great mercy towards people because Jesus Christ has paid the price for us. Hallelujah. Amen. He's paid the penalty. We need his mercy, though we do not deserve it. However, someone gave it freely to us without we paying the penalty for it. Great is his mercy towards us because of his loving kindness. Because of his loving kindness towards us. That never ceases. Because God loves us. Because he cares about us. Because the things that matter to us matter to him. Because God sees your situation and he knows your suffering. He knows the pain. He knows the problems. He knows the challenges that you're going through. He sees that and he still said, you know what? I want to come and rescue you out of this situation. Hallelujah. It's the Father who has chosen to show kindness. The Father could have told the Son, you are wayward. You just lost everything. You're not going to get nothing back. But the Father did not even mention any of those things. But you know what the child said? He said, Father, I am sorry. I have messed up. I come to my senses. I've realized how far I am from you, how far I went from you, how much I've wasted. But then today I'm coming, and I do not desire for you to actually accept me as your son, treat me as one of your servants. But the Father didn't even answer that question. Oh, what he said, look, kill the fattest calf. Get some clothes, get some ring, get some shoe, and let's have a party. You see, so God is not going to sit down and point at you and say, this is your past, Lord Key. This is your past, Mrs. Freeman. This is your past, whoever you are, your name is. He's not going to point fingers at you because someone has paid the price and say, you come on the back of that mercy. Hallelujah. You come on the back of that mercy. John 15:3 tells us that greater love has no man than this, that one will show or lay down his life for his friends. Romans 3:8 says that when we were sinners, when we are far from God, when for us churches, when there's an occasion like keep getting baptized, or Christmas, let's show up. Or New Year, let's show up. Or Easter, let's show up. Or somebody died, let's show up. Or just let's show up on a Sunday in case Pastor Gideon sent us a text message. Let's show up. If that is you, Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans 5:8 that whilst we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. He says, in spite of your situation, in spite of your mindset and worldview, in spite of your viewpoint, in spite of your behavior, in spite of your unpredictable religiousness, in spite of that, in spite of your lateness to church, I must stress that in this church, some of you are not good at it. In spite of your lateness, I'm speaking this time to shame you, right? So the idea is that come on time. We start at 10:30. Make sure it's on the record, right? So, thank you, good man. Hallelujah. You see, whilst we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. In spite of your situation, Christ died for us. And we want to wrap this message to bring you to the point to know that there's great rejoicing. Look at all the three readings that we have. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 3-7. And look at it, and what it says, that look, then Jesus told them this parable. And after he said that, he said this. And when he finds it, verse 5, he joyfully put it on his shoulders and go home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. Rejoice with me. When the lost come home, there's rejoicing. When that person who is breaking your heart turns around and do the right things, there's rejoicing. When the rebellious person turns around, there's rejoicing. When the thief actually stands on the cross, hangs on the cross and says, Jesus Christ, remember me, there's rejoicing. Hallelujah. Amen. There is great rejoicing. And that is the God that we are serving. I have found my sheep. I have found my sheep. And when the woman found the coin, she also said the same thing. Rejoice with me, verse 9. I have found my lost coin. And when he came to the father, he said, look, I want us to celebrate. Rejoice with me. Bring the father's calf. Kill it and let us have a feast and celebrate. So this is to tell us that our God is forever faithful and he will keep his word with us. And he, day after day, will look for us. And it is in the interest of God that you turn around. It's in the interest of God and it's in your own interest that the lostness situation that you find yourself in is turned around. That if it is sickness, it is in his interest to heal people. Some people believe that when they are sick, it means that their God is making them humble. God does not work that way. Do you understand that? If you read Exodus chapter 25, when the Egyptians came out of Egypt, he said, look, my name is going to be known as the Lord Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. So don't let nobody tell you all things work for good for them who love the Lord, who are called according to his people, and you're still suffering. Why is God interested in you to be sick? Even in the hospital, the nurses and the doctors, though they get paid for care, looking after people, it's not in their interest to keep you in the hospital. Do you understand that? Not even the government. It's not even in the interest of the government to keep you in hospital. The government wants you out of the hospital as quickly as possible to save some money. But for the doctors and the nurses, they want you healed. So if human beings want you to be healed, what do you think God wants? Now you argue this with the scripture that you've been put in your head over the years. God wants you healed. God wants you to heal. And you have to pray and ask God to heal you. Don't accept that as God's, as it were, provision for you. Because when God created us, the Bible said everything was good. Sickness is not good. You understand that? When you are poor, it's not good. Do you understand that? When in your home, there's turmoil, it's not good. When your relationship is breaking down, it's not good. When people are hurting you, it's not good. When people are crushing you, it's not good. When your kids are not responding, it's not good. Don't accept this. Don't get into negativity and think that it's okay. It is not okay. God wants to restore the situation. So bringing us to that conclusion, there's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be great celebration. And even in heaven, there's going to be, because it says that even when one person, a sinner, turns around and comes back, even in heaven, there's rejoicing.